Hey everybody, this is DJ Powers, and you're listening to Between the Panels on radio.dominican.edu, where we're going to talk everything comics all the time. This is our first show together, and I'm really excited because comics have always been a large part of my life growing up, and they still are. And the reason I picked this topic is because, you know, when I came into the class, we had to pick something that we were really passionate about, and not only passionate about, something that we could talk about at length, you know, for an hour a week. And something, one of the few things I know about that I can talk about for an hour a week are comic books. And that ranges from the books themselves to, you know, the movies, the TV shows, the cartoons, the like. I'm really excited to be doing this with you guys. Hopefully I can convert some of you to becoming really big comic book fans like I am. What makes comic books so appealing today? Sorry, got off track right there. The thing that makes comic books so appealing today that I think, you know, the fact that we got, you know, a movie coming out every month, pretty much, based off of these properties. And that's really one of the big drives of why I wanted to do this show, is because we can make a lot of connections to these movies that everyone sees, but they might not necessarily understand the source material. The 21st century really has become the year of the century of the superheroes. And not only the superheroes, but the comic book medium. And that's really exciting for me, because obviously I grew up with these stories, and I grew up with these characters. You know, there's countless Halloweens that I spent where I was dressed up as the Hulk, Spider-Man, Batman, you know, everything, really. And I would watch the cartoons every morning, and it's just a really exciting time to be alive for me. It's like candy. You know, I get to watch a movie every week, really, and get to see these things. Now I get to share this with you guys. So the best part about a comic book based show that lends itself to a weekly format like this is the industry itself is always changing. There's always news coming out daily, not only weekly but daily. So I'll always have stuff to come back with and talk with you guys about on the show. The books themselves, the way the industry works is the books themselves, we'll get into that a little more detail later, but issues come out every Wednesday, and books are published in a monthly periodical type format, so that really lends itself a lot to this weekly format with you guys, because I can come back the show's normally on Thursday, we're on Friday today, but I can come back every Thursday and give you guys a recap of what's been coming out during the week. I can give you guys personal reviews. I can do pretty much anything. You know, once books start coming out, I could talk about pretty much a whole show just going over what came out for the week and what's good and what's not, what's worth your dollar or your $3 more like. So it's going to be really fun. But this first week, just because it's my first show with you guys and it's my first show on Penguin Radio, is I just wanted to do a lot of self-introduction with myself and my personal story with comic books. And then once we're done with that, we'll kind of weave in a lot of the industry itself and how that works, because there's a lot to go over. You know, to me, it's obviously really easy to understand, but, you know, the more I looked at it and the more I thought about what I was going to say to everyone, there's a lot of jargon and there's a lot of things that I could maybe say that will go over a lot of people's heads, like a lot of terms, like LCS, that is your local comic book shop. A lot of things like that that I wouldn't really think about that you may not necessarily understand. So what I want to do is, instead of sitting here and going over really a vocab list or a what's what throughout the industry, just at least for the first day, I want to do a system where, you know, I'll just talk about the things I want to talk about. And then if I say a certain word or a certain phrase or just a certain really anything that may not necessarily be common knowledge, then I'll probably stop myself. And I'll do my best to explain it really clearly and really easily. So hopefully by the end of our first hour today, we'll have a really basic understanding and a good grasp. And hopefully you won't feel too in over your head when it comes to, you know, getting into comic books or getting into anything really. You know, because it was confusing for me when I first started. And the thing that's confusing for a lot of people, I think, you know, instead of just saying, oh, I really loved the Captain America film, but I wouldn't get into Captain America comic books, but there's 70 plus years of comic book publishing starring that character. You know, the thing that's really scary, and I think a lot of things that stop people from getting into this, you know, this community and reading these books is the fact that there are, you know, 70 plus years for some characters, you know, even 80 for characters like Superman, where it's hard to read everything. I haven't even read anything. It feels like I've read everything because this is almost all I read now. And I'm never going to be able to read everything because there's way too much. It's too expensive to find all the old stuff. But all in all, you know, things are coming out every week and these stories are always changing. So it's really hard, at least it seems really difficult, to get into these things because you don't want to feel like you're biting off more than you can chew and there's like an overload. I certainly felt like there was an overload when I first jumped into things. But what you kind of have to do is you just have to say, okay, you know what? It's going to be rocky for the first couple months. I'm not going to know who any of these characters are. I'm not going to understand why anyone's doing anything. And I'm not going to understand where to start. So you just kind of have to turn your brain off and decide, you know what? This looks really cool. And if I just pretend like I know what I'm reading about, then it could be really fun. And that's what happened with me. So I hopefully want to turn a lot of you on into getting into the comic book mindset and the comic book scene. Because for me, it was a really exciting time when I first got into everything. And I hope for you guys, it can be the same. So without further ado, we're going to start off with myself and kind of talk about the personal story I had with comic books. Growing up, I had always, you know, I had never really read a comic book. The extent of comics I would read would be like the Sunday Funnies on the New York Times or whatever, like Dilbert or Garfield, like really basic stuff. But I mean, it's still a gateway more than anything. You know, you have that sequential art style. You can get a story while also getting a picture. And it was really fun for me. And then, you know, that obviously kind of opened like a more artistic side for me and a more artistic interest instead of reading just books. Even though I like just books, comic books are really exciting. So, you know, growing up on the TV, you know, Saturday morning cartoons always, I remember very clearly the two cartoons that had populated my mornings all the time were there was the 2003 iteration of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there was the 90s Spider-Man cartoon that would always be put on reruns. And those two shows for me were amazing. Like, I would always just want to turn them on. I remember specifically, I have a DVD at home. I could probably still find it if I went home and I wanted to. It was a Spider-Man meets Daredevil DVD that I would always just put in and watch. I remember that thing like front to back a ridiculous amount, along with those Ninja Turtles cartoons. So those two shows really, to me, opened up a lot of like this high concept, almost science fiction, crazy adventure type stories. You know, this, and it was always just really exciting to me. I just remember I'd always want to be, you know, a Ninja Turtle for Halloween or Spider-Man. You'll learn as the show goes on, by the way, that Spider-Man is my favorite. I have no trepidations about saying Spider-Man is my favorite. I know a lot of people like to go Batman or Superman, Iron Man, because he's really cool. But Spider-Man is the number one, and we'll get into a lot of that why later, possibly another show, hopefully today if we have time. But, you know, that cartoon really, you know, I'm biased, obviously, because that cartoon was a lot of my growing up and that one DVD I had. But Spider-Man is the man to me. And then the Ninja Turtles are always cool because that's four brothers that are ninjas, but also turtles. And I'm obviously not a big turtle, but, you know, I have three brothers. And it was fun for me to imagine what if we were the Ninja Turtles, right? So that was always exciting. And that's a lot of why the Ninja Turtles stuck with me, and that's why they're still around for me today. So that's like the cartoon side and kind of what turned me on to the world of superheroes and the world of comics themselves. But I didn't really start getting into comic books until about my eighth grade year. I was downtown where I live, and there is a store called Heroes and Villains Comics. I went in there that one day, and I haven't missed a week since I came not until I came to college have I missed a week of going in there to buy my books. I just remember walking in there and I saw, you know, the colors, I saw the pictures, everything, and I was like, this is cool, sign me up, I'm gonna be here every week. Jim, the guy who works the store there, he's still a good friend of mine. We miss each other so much that he mails me my books every month, so that way I don't take my business elsewhere, and he gets to clear those out of the pull boxes that we have. And there's one of those terms, pull boxes, for those of you that don't know. When you become a regular at any store, any comic book store, you can set up a subscription list. And this is like saying, you know, I want to buy, every month when Amazing Spider-Man comes out, I want to have an issue of that set aside for me and my subscription list. So that way when you come in on, you know, Wednesday, which is new comic book day, when you come in on Wednesday, you can walk in and they can see that you walked in. They say, oh, Jake's walked through the door. Let's get Jake Moles' pull box out of underneath my table and we'll get his books for the week. So any book that I've put on my monthly subscription list will be in that pull box. So there's one of those terms for those of you who may not have known. And pull boxes are really important. And we'll get into why later when we get into more of the specifics of the industry itself and how comics are put out and like how that works and how you buy them and all that. We'll get into pull boxes specifically because that's a really important part of the comic book buying experience. So anyway, I would walk in and, you know, Jim knows that I need, you know, I'm new. This is the first day I'm new. He can tell. So he just asked me what I like. And I said Spider-Man, and I don't know why he recommended me a ton of Spider-Man books. I don't know what made me not want to buy that, but I remember I bought two issues. One was a book that had just come out that week, which was called The Annihilators Number One, and it was this crazy, and like for a newcomer, this was not the book to buy. It was a mini-series that Marvel put out. And then, again, there's one of those terms, mini-series. Books are either put out in a month, like, you know, books are put out in an ongoing format where, you know, each month is just a new chapter in the story, supposedly, quote-unquote, never-ending unless the book doesn't meet the sales or it just decides to come to a natural conclusion. But a mini-series or a maxi-series, depending on the size, is a limited series that has a specific set number of issues out for their run. And so this specific mini-series, The Annihilators, ran for 4 issues. And I got the first issue, and this was not the book to buy because it was deep, deep, deep in, like, Marvel lore. And not only Marvel lore, but Marvel cosmic lore, like the space side of all the Marvel cosmic characters, which was not well known even by people who – not well known by even people who really read comics on a regular basis. I just remember it was really cool because I saw, like, the Silver Surfer on the front cover. There was this guy that looked like Thor that I would later learn is Beta Ray Bill. There was the Gladiator who had this sick, giant purple mohawk. And I was like, this is really cool. I'm going to get this one. And I almost regretted it when I started reading it because I didn't know anything. But again, I kind of took into that mindset of I'm going to turn my brain off real quick and let's just read it. And it was really fun. So I got that one. And that really kind of gave me a love for Marvel Cosmic, all these stories set in space with these crazy characters and these alien races and this high concept science fiction, like space barbarian type stories. So that's really like my jam right there. And then the other book I bought was this really old school issue for $10, which is not that bad for an old school issue. And it was a number one. And for those of you that don't know, in the comic book industry, a number one issue is like the book to buy. Because the number one usually is really historic. It signals a new series starting. And then later down the line, you know, years and years from now, that can become almost a priceless artifact. Like Action Comics number one from 1938, written by Joe Shuster. And I can't for the life of me remember the other name. But these are the creators of Superman, and that comic can run for hundreds of thousands of dollars if you can even find an issue that's in a decent condition, or if you can find an issue period, because that's really unbelievably old. So the Champions number one is what I bought. It was this really, really old book, and it was a weird team. Like, when you think Avengers, you think, you know, the big names like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, all that. This book was, it even said on the cover, this is a, it said the weirdest super team of all, and it was pretty weird. It had Hercules, you know, the Hercules. It had Black Widow, which we all know from the Avengers movies, so that's like one known character. Iceman and Angel from the X-Men, and then the Ghost Rider, who, if you don't know who the Ghost Rider is, he's this skeleton on a motorcycle and his head's on fire. And whether you like comics or not, that's just a cool design. And so I was like, this is the book I'm going to get. And it was certainly weird, but it was fun. And like, so these two books, the Champions and the Annihilators, they really showed me that these books can be really fun. And I was like, I'm going to do this more. So then I would start coming in every week, and then just, you know, it snowballed from there. And I found out the books that I like and the books that I don't. Jim taught me a lot about what the industry is like and what it's like to buy books, and ever since then I've been a true believer. You know, and I really want to be able to share that with you guys. So, you know, I could go into countless stories about, you know, me and the comic book store, but that's just the one that I'm going to give you, because it's my most favorite story, because that's where it all began. So that was a really exciting day for me, and ever since, that's been my weekly go-to. Every Wednesday, I would normally head into Heroes and Villains, either it be after school or after work, and I would get my books for the week. I'd come home, and I'd sit down and not move until those are done being read. And then when they're done being read, I put them back in their plastic sleeves. For those of you who don't know, the plastic sleeves and the cardboard covers, those keep your books in tip-top condition. And every single one of my comics at home is in their own little plastic sleeve. Because, you know, later down the line when I carry these home in my boxes or whenever I move, I want them to be in good condition, so I keep them in the sleeves. And it makes it look a little professional. I definitely look a little crazy when you walk into my room and there's about, I think I have 6 boxes now filled from the front to back. They're kind of stuffed, so I'm gonna have to buy a new one soon with these comic books. So yeah, that's just been my weekly routine forever. Over the years, I've definitely accumulated a top series of books, and I'm gonna go over that when we get back from the break. We're gonna take a quick break real quick, so we'll come back to Between the Panels on radio.dominican.edu with DJ Powers. We're running until 3 o'clock today, so I'll see you guys after the break.
T-Tom, BBC Radio 1. T-Tom, BBC Radio 1.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, true believers. This is DJ Powers, and you're listening to Between the Panels on radio.dominican.edu. I came back from the break, and I was thinking about how did I want to open this next segment, because I'm going to be talking a lot about of why the comics themselves are really appealing. So I've gotten a lot of, like, you know, just the how fun they are, and they're a lot of fun because they offer this world. They offer escapism, and I don't mean that in the sense that, like, you know, avoid what's going on in your real life, but, you know, they're a fun break from whatever you got going on. And, you know, like any good, I'm going to share a quote from a creator named Care Andrews, who draws, inks, and does everything for one of my favorite books. And it says, "A great novel can take you to a world only you can imagine, but a great comic can show you something beyond your own imagination." And I really love that quote because it's really true. One of the biggest appeals of reading a book, obviously, is you get to morph everything into being what you want it to be. Any character can look however way you want. The world is yours to do with as you please. You're just there for the story, and then everything else is up to you. Comics are great because, you know, while it does present a certain image to you, it's something beyond of what you could have possibly, like, imagined. There are a lot of books I've read where certain characters will happen, or, like, certain crazy things will happen, because crazy things certainly do happen in comics, and it makes me just sit there and think, I could have never in 1,000 years come up with a story idea or some plot twist like that. It's insane. And being able to come into books every month, but when I was home every week, being able to come into my pull list and then look at all my books and say what kind of crazy stuff is going to get presented to me this week. You know, it's always exciting to see what new stuff can get pulled out of the hat, or what things you can never possibly have thought of get presented to you. And then now, so more than ever, you know, this has always been the case, but with comics in general, whether it be Marvel Comics or DC Comics, which are generally considered like the quote-unquote big two of comic book publishing, or Image, which is a huge independent publisher that is catching up to, like, the size and the impressive levels that Marvel and DC have achieved over the years, or, you know, more independents like Dark Horse or IDW or Valiant, any one of these publishers, what normally they want to do is they want to present you these stories that you can get away from the world for a little bit, have some fun, read some Avengers doing some crazy stuff like fighting King the Conqueror throughout, you know, centuries and centuries of time and space. You know, that's not really the world, but Marvel specifically, and then, you know, this mandate can kind of go across any of the other publishers. They really want to give you the world outside your window. And that's really important because, you know, if you're a creator and you're making these stories and you're making all this fun, you also should be able to educate a little bit, which I think is important. So now, so more than ever, a lot of creators are using their comics as a platform to not necessarily preach, but to teach on what's on certain going ons in the world and certain issues. Like a book that I think does this so well, more than almost any book out there right now, is a book that Marvel's putting out for not much longer. The sales weren't there, unfortunately, so it's going to get canceled. But if you can track it down, it shouldn't be hard because it's fairly new. If you can track it down, go find Marvel's Nighthawk. Written by David Walker with art by Ramon Villalobos. I hope I said that name right. But these two creators took a story that could have just been a Batman ripoff, which is what Nighthawk is, without sounding too confusing on, you know, all the comics jargon or whatever. Nighthawk is a character, Kyle Richmond, who hails from another universe and finds himself in our quote-unquote Marvel universe. And he is a rich businessman who dresses up as a vigilante of the night to take on criminals So it sounds a lot like Batman because it is like Batman. It was meant to be an analog to Batman. But it takes place in Chicago. It takes place in a very real city. And Chicago is a town that is inflicted with a lot of racial tension, a lot of violence, you know, a lot of this insane, heavy stuff. And David Walker, the writer, uses Nighthawk as a conduit to represent a lot of these ideas and put a commentary on it and make readers aware of this is going on in the world. This is a very real issue, so we need to do something about it. And it's not shoved down your throat in any way. It's David Walker is one of the smartest writers out there right now. And, you know, I think everyone should read Nighthawk, especially now with a lot of what's going on in the world. So that's my favorite example of what can, like, how smart comic books can be. So I always try to read books that will give me new perspectives on certain things or teach me things about myself or the world that I may not necessarily know. And that to me is really, really special about comic books because, and you know, it used to just be comic books are dumb, they're for kids. And while a lot of comic books still are for kids, I think that's important. You can't lose the all ages market. You know, I think it's amazing that the comic book medium has elevated itself to a point where it can be smart and intelligent while also being really fun. So speaking of favorite books, you know, Nighthawk being one of them, I just want to give a quick rundown of 10 of my favorite books that are being put out right now and hopefully inspire you guys to pick up a couple of these because, you know, it's always hard of, oh, where do I start? What book do I pick up? So hopefully just these 10 books right now can give you guys a little idea of what to read and maybe what to start off with because these are all some of the best books being put out by the best creators and they're all worth your time. And before I get into that, just want to remind you guys that you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Between the Panels with DJ Powers from 2 to 3 every Thursday. We're on Friday today. Everything comics all the time. So here's my top 10 list in no favorite order. So, of course, we'll start off the top 10. We have The Amazing Spider-Man, written by Dan Slott with many, many artists. Right now it's mainly Giuseppe Comanicoli. Probably got that name wrong. But this book is amazing because, obviously, it's Spider-Man. And Dan Slott is just one of the smartest writers out there right now. He is a writer that really likes to play the long game. So he's always planting seeds in issues from like years ago. Like he's been writing Spider-Man for I think a little over 5 years now, and he's picking up on stuff now that he set the stage 4 years ago. So it's this really big soap opera type Spider-Man type book where, you know, everything matters. Everything you read matters, and you're going to get a lot of payoff down the line. So Amazing Spider-Man's good because I can tune in every month to that book and know that I'm going to get a little further in this story, but not necessarily reach the end because I'll always have something to read. So Spider-Man's really fun. A book that isn't on the shelves, well, it's on the shelves, but it's not being published anymore just because the book's over, which I think is like the epitome of comic book storytelling, is Daredevil by Mark Waid, Paolo Rivera, and Chris Samnee. This is a, for any of you who have seen the Netflix show, it's a really dark Netflix show, and it's really, really good, so go watch Daredevil on Netflix, but it's a really dark take on the character, because the character is normally associated with darkness, and, you know, being down in the dumps of, you know, everything looks hopeless, but Mark Waid's Daredevil, you can find it in collected volumes, usually on Amazon, or in any local comic book shop. It is a very fun, and he really lightens up the character, and it's an exciting, exciting book, and that was one of the books that I would run to the store for when it's still being published, because I hated waiting a month in between each issue, because him and Samnee, the artist that would later become the regular artist, they achieved this synergy where instead of being writer and penciler, it was storytellers, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Which I think is really important, because when you can achieve that level as a comic book creating team, then you've really hit your stride and you can create a book that is already going down in history as like one of the greatest books ever Marvel's ever published and one of the greatest comic books published ever. So that's definitely worth your time. Another one that's really, really strong is Deadly Class by Rick Remender, with art by Wes Craig. This is an outstanding book because Rick Remender's a writer. He's one of my favorite writers on the scene right now. He's been around for a while, but he's like really blown up in a huge way. He's one of my favorite writers because he injects a lot of his personal turmoils and a lot of his personal thoughts and feelings or whatever he's going through at the time. He puts a lot of that into his books. And Deadly Class is a book where he took a lot of his journals from his teenage years and he transferred that into a character named Marcus, who is a homeless boy on the streets of San Francisco in 1987. And he gets recruited into a high school, quote unquote, where the world's deadliest assassins are trained. And it's kind of a crazy concept. Not kind of, it's a crazy concept. But between all the bloodshed of this book and all the crazy stuff that goes on and all the darkness, there's a lot of deeply personal and really gripping stuff that Remender writes. And this is another one of those examples where the writer and the artist have achieved this synergy, because Wes Craig, his use of color and his line work is outstanding. So Deadly Class is another one of those books where I anticipate it every month because it just rocks my world. And I just got the hardcover collection of the first like 16 issues, and it's this big like neon pink hardcover book, and it looks really, really good on my desk. So that's a book that you guys all got to read for sure, because it's more than just a comic. You know, it's like it's a personal memoir almost in terms of the feelings of these characters and what they go through. Another big book that I love is from DC Comics. We're shifting publishers now. And Deadly Class was from Image. I didn't specify, but Deadly Class was from Image, which is an independent publisher. But a DC Comics book is Midnighter by Steve Orlando with art by Aiko and a couple others, but Aiko is the main regular artist. But Midnighter is a great book because it takes this character who's another Batman ripoff, essentially, or not really ripoff, but this analog of Batman. Takes this character who was mainly just like a sidelines kind of player, not really popular. People would just call him the quote-unquote gay Batman because he is one of the few openly gay characters within the DC Comics stable. And Steve Orlando is this writer who took this character who's used to just being a team player as opposed to carrying a solo book, and he wrote a whole, you know, only ran for 12 issues, but that's about a whole year. And he wrote this really amazing story, you know, front to back, where it's just this completely confident main character. He's written truthfully, written without compromise, and it's just the confidence of this book and the way these characters operate. It's really infectious, and I think it's a really great story because it's a good story to read because it can show you that, you know, characters aren't defined by what their labels are. Like, everyone had always labeled Midnighter, you know, Midnighter's the gay Batman. Why does it matter? This book really proves that those things don't really matter in the sense of labels. Like, it's important to who his character is, but, you know, that's not what defines him fully. So it's an outstanding book, and I recommend, once those come out in the trades later on in the year, that you pick those up, because that's an outstanding read. One book that is another Marvel book that is one of my top books of all time, I'm not even going to be shy about this one. It's probably my favorite Marvel book, period, that's ever been written. It's called The Superior Foes of Spider-Man by Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber. Before I get into the book, Nick Spencer is a writer who is huge into the political scene, and he uses his books a lot as like these political platforms. Right now, he writes both of the Captain America books that Marvel currently publishes, and he takes a lot of political views and a lot of controversial stances. But this is before all that, and Superior Foes of Spider-Man is a book where Spencer takes five like Z-list characters, like way down at the bottom, that no one even knows about, and he makes a team out of them. And it's just this team of losers. Like, there's five of them, but they call themselves the Superior Six. So like, that's already a tip off to how much they are not good at what they do in terms of being supervillains. And, you know, the book would be nothing without Steve Lieber, whose art is just off the wall. It's good because comedy in any kind of medium, whether it be acting or, you know, speaking, like if I were on the radio with you guys, or art especially, because you need movement and facial expressions to see comedy. Comedy's tough. But Steve Lieber writes, he draws comedy better than anyone. And it's a really good physical comedy. And, like, this is one of the few comics where I bust out loud laughing. So just to have a good time, you should absolutely read this book, because you're going to bust out laughing at these five losers who can't do anything right. It's basically a mix between It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and The Goodfellas, where everyone sucks at what they do and no one's smart. So it's pretty funny, and I highly recommend reading that book for sure. So definitely go pick that up online or in the Marvel store or wherever. One book that I really want to get out there, because I know that Game of Thrones is huge right now. I'm a big Game of Thrones guy. I read the book. I've been reading the books forever. I'm not watching the show right now, so don't spoil anything for me, because I'm waiting for the new books to come out whenever George R. R. Martin decides to do that. But a book that, if you like Game of Thrones, you're going to love is The Mighty Thor by Jason Aaron and Russell Dodderman. And this book is really outstanding because it takes a new Thor. The Thor that you know in the movies is not Thor anymore in the books. The whole rule with the hammer is if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor, or whatever, whosoever holds this hammer. Thor's not worthy anymore. We don't know why, but the new worthy wielder of the hammer is Jane Foster, which is Natalie Portman in the Thor films, and she's currently Thor for the Marvel Universe. And this book that Jason Aaron's writing, it's been going on for a couple years now. It's basically Game of Thrones, but jacked up to, like, 11. Because instead of being different kingdoms, it's all these different realms. So there's, like, our realm, there's Thor's realm, there's, like, the realm of the Ice Giants or whatever. And it takes this high concept science fiction / fantasy, and it just turns it into this crazy Game of Thrones style. Everyone's got agendas. Everyone's doing something. There's always some war going on. Everyone speaks in thous and these, you know, classic Thor. And it's very, if you like the sword and sorcery type of Game of Thrones, Mighty Thor is right up your alley. And Jane Foster is currently proving herself to be a much, much more gripping Thor than the normal Thor ever was so far. So definitely read that book if you're a big Game of Thrones fan, which I know a lot of you probably are. And then I just want to get into a couple more here before we go into another little break. The God Damned by Jason Aaron and Aram Guerra is a crazy biblical, like, noir type story. It takes the story of Cain before the flood, and it turns it into the almost this, not detective procedural, but like a procedural almost, where it's like this crazy noir style, like, deep seedy underbelly of the world. But instead of being in, like, 1930s New York, it's in the age of the Bible, which is really interesting. So definitely read that if you're into, like, you know, the dark stuff, the crime stuff, because this is crime stuff at its best. So we're gonna go into one more quick break here before we come back for our final segment. So I hope that any of those recommendations inspired you to pick those up. Those are some of the books that I really love. And when we come back, we're just going to talk about some more industry jargon and whatnot, and get you guys up to speed. So we'll be back. See, hey, I got nothing to prove. Pay attention, my intention is to boss the move. I took cards and cans and bottles and sections between the turntables, keep the vodka and the mix. What I do best while you are at the party, your girlfriend. again, true believers. This is DJ Powers, and you're tuning in to Between the Panels on radio.dominican.edu, where we talk everything comics all the time. And I just wanted to kind of trail off into the end of the show here with, you know, I've been talking about buy these comics, buy this, buy that, read this, but where can you do that? So I'm going to go into a lot of that. So the easiest way, now that it's 2016 and the comic book medium is really shifting gears into like being this digital medium, there's like hundreds of apps, but the main apps that you probably want to get is Comixology. Comixology is an outstanding app that is basically just a comic book store in an app, because you can get any publisher wherever in this one app, and you know, you set up an account, you hook it up to your, you know, debit card, credit card, whatever, and you can buy comic books, and they'll be downloaded right onto your phone. You can, of course, get Comixology on your iPad as well. It's probably better for comics because the screen's a little bigger. You can read more, really soak that art in, because art is important. You really have to, you know, you really got to sit there and absorb the art. You know, sometimes when I'm reading, I won't even read. You know, I'll read a book, but then I'll just go back and stare at the panels, because sometimes artists really knock it out of the park, and they really make you just want to sit there and look at it. And that's why a lot of artists sell their original art. So definitely get Comixology, for sure. Any publisher ever has their own app. So I have the Marvel app downloaded on my phone. DC Comics has an app. Image Comics has an app. IDW, Valiant, blah, blah, blah. All those comics, all those publishers have apps, and each book runs for about $2 to $4, depending on if you get like a back issue or a new issue, and depending on the publisher, it'll be a different price. And then books are always formatted, single issues run from $3 to $4, or, you know, books now, the way books are written, kind of just the style, is they're kind of written in sixes, so issues 1 through 6 of a book are typically arc number 1, and those will always be collected into a paperback or even a hardcover format, because sometimes it's a lot easier for people to buy the paperback trades or the hardcover trades. So the market is also leaning towards selling these in these trades and these collections, because it's easier to shelve, it's easier to read in one go. So definitely investigate trades, because sometimes it's a lot easier to get into books as well, because you can get a whole story. You can really know if you like something or not if you read a whole trade on something. But if you're not the app kind of guy, like I'm definitely very traditional, and I like to go into the comic book store, even though I haven't been there, because I don't want to cheat on Heroes and Villains and insult Jim at home. But there is a comic book store on 4th Street in San Rafael, for any of you local listeners, called Blue Moon Comics in San Rafael, located on 1560 4th Street B. And then that is a really, I've seen it. I've gone in, I looked at the pictures and stuff like that. It's a really cool little place. Tons of energy, tons of fun. It's a little bigger than Heroes and Villains, so I'll give it that. So it's fun to browse around. And then if you're not in San Rafael, or you're not in, you know, Pleasanton, where Heroes and Villains is, and you want to find your comic book store, any comic book site like Marvel Comics or DC Comics, whatever, they should have a search bar where you can find a comic book shop locator. So all you got to do is just go in there, type in your zip code, and it'll give you the, like, you know, 10 nearest comic book stores. So it's always really easy to find out where a comic book store is near you. I didn't know that Heroes and Villains existed 2 blocks away, you know, 3-4 blocks away from where I live, until I typed it into Marvel Comics' little search engine. And I found it, and I, you know, didn't know it was there my entire life. So it's fun to find those kinds of things out. When you're buying comics, definitely ask the vendor for some recommendations. You know, they're there for a reason. If they're like me, which they are, they love to talk about comics, and they love to hear themselves talk about comics. So absolutely ask them for some recommendations. Tell them what characters you like. Tell them what genres you like. You know, they will be more than happy to recommend you some stuff. And when you come in next week, they'll have a new person to talk about their issues and their stories with. That's always exciting, because it's kind of hard now to find people who read the books. Definitely buy long boxes. Long boxes are not that expensive. There's cardboard boxes that you fold up. It's a couple bucks. If I didn't have my long boxes, my comic book issues would be scattered all over the floors, and it would be a little dirty, and it'd be they'd get a little damaged. So long boxes are definitely a strong investment. I highly recommend those. And, you know, it's a really fun time. So I hope with this first show, I've inspired some of you guys to want to read comics. I went back and forth a little bit on some certain topics, and, you know, I rambled a little bit, but there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to go over. So, you know, I could be here all year talking about the show, and we're not going to go over everything. But we're going to go over a lot still, and it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really exciting because comic books are exciting. It's a wonderful world out there to be a comic book fan. You know, we got movies coming out every month. There's tons of superhero movies now. Marvel Comics has movies, and DC now. They all have movies slated well past, like, 2020. You know, we're going to have movies forever. There's always going to be Marvel something. There's always going to be DC something on. And there's a lot of publishers now that are getting into the film industry, like Valiant, who is a really old school publisher from late 80s, early 90s. They're awesome. They're totally they're an independent little publisher. Everything they do is like a labor of love. They're getting movies now. And there's a lot of movies out there that you may not have known, or comic book movies like The Kingsman: Secret Service, that was really popular. I think that was 2015 or 2014. I can't remember. That was a really popular film, and that is a comic book originally. Written by Mark Millar, and I cannot remember the artist. So, sorry, artist of Kingsman. And then Men in Black is like another movie that you wouldn't think is a comic book, but it totally is. So, you know, comics are in everything now, and that's what's exciting. You know, we got it on TV. We got it in the movies specifically. That's a huge part of the market. 21st century is like the century of superheroes. We got it in clothing lines. We have it in video games. We have it in novels, even. Like, they're not even just comic books anymore, they're books. A lot of publishers are investing in having people write prose novels for them, which is really exciting. So there's a medium of any kind for you to get into these worlds, and then if you want to trickle down into the world of comic books, then that's why I'm here. I'm hopefully going to educate you a little bit. So next week, we're going to do a lot of talking about the movies specifically. And what the movies are like, and how that kind of all started, and how it became a huge craze, because, you know, you can't talk about comic books now and not speak about the influence that the films have on not only the populace but the market now would be insane. You know, I'd be missing the whole point, because I'm sure that a lot of you that are listening have seen the movies and love the movies because a lot of them are really fun, but haven't read a comic book, which is totally fine. So that's why I'm here, hopefully to kind of inspire you. So next week we're going to go into a lot of the movies, and then just to get out of the way, I'm not going to talk about a certain movie called Guardians of the Galaxy, because that's my favorite movie of all time, period, and I'm going to probably save that for its own show 1 week, because that movie has a lot behind it and a lot going forward. That could take a whole hour. So I'm really excited to get talking about that movie. But specifically, I'm really excited to get you guys talking about the movies next week, because that's what a lot of you guys know. That's a lot of what everyone's excited about these days. So, yeah, with that, I'm going to leave you guys on that note. So hopefully we're excited to talk about movies next week, the Hollywood scene. This has been Between the Panels with DJ Powers on radio.dominican.edu. Everything comics all the time. We'll be back to our regular scheduled programming on Thursdays from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. PM on, again, radio.dominican.edu. Everything comics all the time. Excelsior, true believers.